shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, Interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. And we are back after a short hiatus. Things get a little crazy. You know what? We don't have to explain. We're back. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'm Alex Dunbar. We are back, by the way, with a vengeance on this film. We did not ease back into anything.
No, we did not.
I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here with Jack Estabrook.
Over here.
that's the pull quote from this movie.
There were so many. I froze and then I said the first one that popped into my head.
Cody Wolf.
Yeah, I got nothing.
There's that. Nick Neward. Yeah, and Christy Swarm.
Yeah, I don't even want to honor this movie with some kind of catchphrase.
I know. Well, Jack did one of the funnier catchphrases right before we turned on the microphones. Yeah. Moments before.
Too bad you. We'll die.
Yeah, exactly. Our movie this week is 1997's Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I didn't actually look it up, but the whole time I was trying to figure out like what year this was.
Yes.
Because just of how bad. I felt like it was like the beginning of like even like Chroma Key, how bad this. The effects
it
were.
It looks like 91.
I saw it was 97, but I kept on thinking like 92, 93.
This is
I
mean, 92 it was, yeah,
it
level. Like,
it was even worse. Yeah. The effects were even worse than Sound of Thunder was.
Remember oh, those? Yeah.
I mean, this it was, is and that Stone was Age CGI level.
Yeah, it was
I mean,
it was
this is Food Fight yeah. level. I mean, and actually.
They use it generously. They're not ashamed to use the CGI. Characters turn into dragons and change back, and it looks like crap, and they're like proud of it. They just like,
The dragons almost look like claymation.
They did, didn't they? Oh,
I was convinced. In fact, I paused on Netflix and went back and watched one, because there was a sequence where I thought one character was CGI and the other was claymation. Like, it was so moving in a claymation form that I'm like, I don't think that's CGI.
But. In the original game, the larger characters were stop motion because the video games did the stop motion, the motion capture of actors and costumes.
Yeah.
But for the characters that were way too complicated, like the centaur, Motaro, for example, they did like a frame by frame of a model.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. To give people a preface on how bad this film is, Cody and I were texting during it of where in the pantheon of films we've done for this show with this rank, it's pretty high. It may not be Lady in the Water, but this could topple Food Fight.
I haven't seen Lady in the Water. I haven't done that many podcasts, to me, I don't see how Lady in the Water can be worse than this.
Well, there's two different kinds of bad movies
in
here.
That's
like
true.
The So Bad It's Good, which Lady in the Water I think is top of So Bad It's Where like I could watch that movie again and laugh.
Yeah.
And then there's this one where I would never
disagree. Watching. I think the opposite is true. For me, Lady in the Water is a movie that's trying so hard to be good and it fails and it
which
sucks
is nice.
And it makes the experience
funny.
Bad.
But at least it tried.
This movie is so ridiculously bad, I laugh my ass off at the fact that they're trying
I don't
to be
like,
serious.
I don't like watching movies that are purposely bad.
But this isn't purposely bad.
It's just waste my time.
They did this with full conviction that they're going to make money off of this. They want to sell a video game.
I think they were... Some of it is supposed to be over the top. But I think they were committed to like, doing it.
I mean, they're committed to doing what they're doing.
Nobody said, haha, that's funny, we're making a comedy.
Lady in the Water is good because M. Night Shyamalan is so in his own head. And
it's so pretentious.
But you don't spend James Remar money without expecting to get a return on that investment.
That's true.
Yeah, Chris, if you do get to see it, and I do recommend it, Lady in the Water is the most pretentious film
ever made. Yeah.
I mean,
it's so bad there's a book written about the making of it, which I have.
Oh, wow.
About how crazy.
And it's a wonderful book.
Yeah, I own it. I bought it on eBay after we watched the movie. After this.
All right, this is going to be a journey.
We said the title of what movie yet?
I think we said,
I think I'm repressing everything.
We're doing as good a job talking about the movie as the movie does getting the story across.
Did I say, Mike, I watched this movie in the movie theater when it came out when it was new? What was your reaction to it when you saw it?
I was so disappointed. So the first Mortal Kombat movie is like my guilty pleasure movie. I've seen it way more times than any sane person should ever admit to seeing Mortal Kombat.
That's amazing.
But I remember being so excited to hear that there was a sequel. And I went to the theater. I was all about it. Ugh. And then I immediately repressed the entire thing.
I had to remind myself at one point watching this. I refused to look at the Wikipedia story section because I'm like, no, I refuse. I'm going to look at it when this movie's over, but I am not giving this movie the benefit of me following along with Wikipedia.
I was saying,
and can I just say too that I've never played Mortal Kombat and I hate kung fu movies. So this is going into this. That's why this is a slog for me.
I don't know if this counts as a kung fu movie. Well, any the sort fights of, were really punch, throw somebody against a wall.
They were very staged.
The fights. I have to defend it. The fights were great. Because I got time to check my Facebook, do my taxes.
What's Nick complaining about?
Change your oil in your car.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start into this. The point I was going to make is I refused to follow along the storyline on Wikipedia. I did have to look at Wikipedia to confirm to myself that this was a theatrical release.
It was. I questioned that.
Alright, so we get a very brief voiceover kind of summarizing the first Mortal Kombat movie.
This was funny to me because it
picks up right where the first one left off.
Well, it's funny because usually when you get this sort of recap, it's like it goes through, you know, the previous movie to set you up for the second one. This one's basically just the first movie happened and now here's the second one. I mean, it was so quick. Yeah. It was like
it picks up right where the first one is, literally
the last shot.
But I'm pretty sure Sonya's in a different costume.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Absolutely is. Well, they're in the same location. Two of the cast members are the same. But the scenario is that at the final shot of the first movie, spoiler alert, is the they've won the championship. They've defended the Earth. There's this ancient rule that says, you know, that these bad guys will not invade if the humans bravely defend and fight with honor in this tournament, yada, yada, yada. So the heroes fight in the tournament. They defeat the evil Shang Tsung, the dark sorcerer. They prove that they are worthy to live another generation without these bad guys invading.
I'm so bored right now.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. And the final shot of the movie is the sky gets dark, and then a portal opens, and that's the end of the movie. And they all get ready to fight, and that's the end of the movie. This movie opens up in the same location, and the portal opens, and then it starts raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
It really does.
Men. That would have made it better.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so inaccessible in the sense of, like, I've seen the first Mortal Kombat movie. I'm not a total, like, novice to this, but I'm, from moment one, I was like, whoa, what?
There's
like,
no development happening of anything ever in this movie.
Jumps
in.
No. I mean, this is shockingly lacking in explanation, like, just basic exposition. Yeah. Like, it's a movie that needed exposition.
Yeah, having never seen the first one, this one just jumping right into, like, a big fight scene was jarring, I guess, for me.
Yeah.
Please see the first one.
Yeah.
Please.
Your soul is mine.
It's not good.
I would also urge you to watch
it. I will defend the first one to the day I die. I know it's not some cinematic masterpiece, but I love it.
It is probably, I don't know if this is, if I haven't seen all of them, obviously, but it's probably the best video game adaptation movie I have ever seen.
The first one.
Yes, the first one.
That doesn't say a lot, though. I mean, that really doesn't say
video game adaptation films are usually not good.
I know, that's what I mean.
I'm trying to think of one that is, period.
Yeah.
But the Mortal Kombat 1 is the most quality film in that pile.
Yeah.
So grading it against its peers, it's Citizen Kane, right?
But you're
it's
really...
It's peers being Super Mario Brothers.
Being Super Mario Brothers, yeah. Exactly. No, I'm admitting that.
House of the Dead.
I think it's like, for a 13-year-old boy watching Mortal Kombat 1, it's like the best movie ever. It's got everything you want in it. It's based on your favorite video game ever. It's got all these cool characters, fight scenes, this cool techno music, which
is
big at
the
time.
Best movie soundtrack ever.
Absolutely.
Do you spend a lot of time thinking about what 13-year-old boys want? Or?
No, but having been one, I can remember that. Sure. I can tap into that child, but...
I did well, that's and it is the first.
I can tap into that.
It's
not creepy. I promise.
We just need to move on.
The first Mortal Kombat movie does kind of know what it is. Like, I'm not really defending it because it's not great, but it is
it's comfortable
in its own skin of what it is.
It is.
This movie, I mean, it does. It just starts off with monsters falling from the sky. Characters we are not introduced to are not really fighting them, and the geography even of where this is happening is impossible to determine. I couldn't even tell where the good guys were in relation to the bad guys or the other good
guys.
There's
a lot of low angle shots of them like standing up on hilltops.
This
so movie, it's like posing. Where like posing, like, you know, you can't see it.
Traversing the world in hamster balls.
I have a lot. And that was not in the game, by the way. There's a lot of stuff that's not in the game that's in this movie.
I have a lot of that. Well, this movie, like, and now we're going to really kind of like get a little inside baseball, but I have never seen a movie that has more one shots than this movie. Like, many, like, just single shots.
They just cut back to a character, like watching a fight, or
Or even like even when multiple characters are in a scene, you're just seeing like ISO shots. Like, I'm like, why were they? Did these characters have clauses where they couldn't appear in the frame with each other, or like even in fight scenes?
I wonder.
Fight scenes are so many ISO.
Did they go back and add characters when Mortal Kombat 3 was finished? I don't think that's possible. Judging
I don't know. It seems like it was.
There's a lot of characters from Mortal Kombat 3 in this movie too.
Can we also
they
talk
just don't get named though?
Yeah, they don't name them. No.
Cody, as a guy who probably knows more about moving graphics than any of us ever will. Your thoughts on the keying in?
There was a shot, and I wanted to bring it up. Of I think it was his name Raiden. I think it was him or somebody. That was like, because the sky is all like
purple.
It's like purple, but you can tell it's just like there's like a straight line at one point where you can tell there's two images just like put together and just like moving.
Yeah.
But there's a shot of one of them against the sky where the mat around their head was moving.
Was moving with them.
Yeah. It was moving with them, but then they stopped and the mat kept moving. So it like cut off like part of their head and like went back. And, it was like that as a graphic designer, motion designer, it was like the most infuriating thing. It was like so frustrating seeing that, because this movie was 1997. They could do chroma key in 1997. They could
have, and you would even say chroma key, like, well, we should at least try to match the lighting. I mean, at least try. Right. I mean, this was like,
well, it was like they shot it on a sunny day, and then they put storm clouds in the sky.
Exactly, and you can totally tell.
Yeah, that's what they did. Instead of throwing up a green screen behind him, you know, just behind his head, so you could cut out his head.
Or shooting on a cloudy day.
Yeah,
exactly.
They matted around his head, and it was so bad.
This is why
it was so amazing.
Yeah, this is why when you see it behind the scenes stuff, you'll see green screens in exterior locations, so you don't. Right. Up with this.
Well, and I was actually thinking, like, as I was watching the movie, that this is the only movie where I've ever said that the effects are actually eye popping, because my eyes were popping in my head. Like, I was like, how bad is that?
Yeah.
Like, there's a shot at one point where Sonya and Jax like jump away from an explosion. It was the worst shot ever.
It was below Power Rangers level.
I don't know if I actually text you, or I was gonna text you, but this is like the most visually bad movie that we've done.
Absolutely.
And so it's hard because most of the badness in this movie was visual, so it's hard to discuss to describe
lot
it.
Of yeah.
Well, let's like for example, like in the first movie, you know, the characters, video game characters, particularly back in the 16-bit era, had very striking look, bright colors, simple designs. It helps you to recognize them immediately, and, you know, it makes the games colorful and bright. Mortal Kombat, the movie, Mortal Kombat 1, they attempted to make the characters appear like their video game counterparts, but they dressed them in believable clothing. Like, Liu Kang is wearing, like, a pair of pants and a shirt. He's not wearing, you know, like, a headband with a massive hideous dragon on it, like, exercise pants or whatever.
Right.
You know, Sonya's not wearing green spandex. She's wearing, you know, like, paramilitary kind of combat clothes, because that's what she wears. It makes sense. In this movie, the costume designer literally said, well, Katana wears pink spandex, or Melina wears pink spandex, put her in pink spandex. Oh, okay. Nightwolf wears, you know, like, leather, but there's, like, a lot of blue, and there's, like, a feather on his head, so we have to do that, because he's the, you know, Native American character, right? Okay. And Raiden's gonna have, you know, his freaking pan hat and all that, which he did have in the first movie, but still, it's like they were adapting so much to make it look like the game. They took it too far.
Sindel's costume was the one that really got me, because that was, like,
legit. That was like
spandex version.
They borrowed it from the motion capture people from the video game.
Yeah. Is Sindel the mother of the Katana? Okay.
Okay, so do you really want the video game backstory? Because I can provide it.
Do it.
The short version is she's Katana's mom.
Okay, because like they're just throwing stuff at me in the first few minutes of this. Like, I'm like, whoa, that one lady's that other lady's mom? Like, what?
And you know, because she goes, mom?
Yeah.
Yep. And another character, or she's even like, I thought she was dead. And I'm like, What? Like, all of my notes in the scene are like, whoa.
This is the character's introduction, by the way. She's not in the first movie.
This movie severely depends on the fact that you've played the game. I assume
she was in the first movie and I can follow it.
I can follow it.
Or can you give me a brief?
I played it.
What is the backstory on her mom being dead?
So, because
the movie assumed we knew this, and I still do not.
So Queen Sindel was the queen of a peaceful realm that Shao Kahn took over, killed Queen Sindel's husband, and took Katana as his adopted daughter. Queen Sindel killed herself because she didn't want to be Shao Kahn's queen, and then Shao Kahn resurrected her to control her.
It's like a dark sorceress.
Okay. Okay.
A little necromancy going on.
Yeah. None of that. I took none of that away. The only reason that
you'd ever know that is if you played the game and read the manual.
And that's kind of my whole thing with this movie is this was a theatrical release. You'd think they would say we should make this somewhat accessible to an audience.
It is incredible. It is so dependent on the fact that you've played the games. I mean, there are several. There's probably five or six characters that are in the movie that are never named, but are video game characters that aren't necessarily the major ones you would recognize.
Yeah.
But again, if you played the game, you know, oh yeah, that's Baraka, but never mentioned in the movie at all. You're just expected to know that kind of stuff.
Right, right, right. It's so crazy.
And he didn't even need to be there except for like a fight. It's like watching, this is going to be really inappropriate, but it's almost like, it's like fight porn. It's like nothing happens.
Except the fights are awful.
And then they fight, and then nothing happens, and then they fight. Just like porn, except they're not fighting. It's the same thing. Nothing happens, and there's a fight. Nothing happens, and then there's
elaborate.
A fight.
Elaborate, I'm not sure.
When a man and a woman like each other very much. Yeah. And no.
Well, we're still on like that first fight.
This opening scene, I know, so, right? Shao Kahn is a lot smaller too, because at the end of the first movie, he's like 30 feet tall.
What's the name
which
of
is
the
not
bad
in the game.
Guy?
Shao Kahn. He is a conqueror who has conquered a nether realm called Outworld.
Okay.
And he did not win Outworld. Shang Tsung failed in this contract. If humans fight in this tournament and win, you can't invade. And he says,
he didn't win Earth. He already won Outworld.
Yes, he won Outworld. He didn't win Earth. So now he says, screw it. Screw the rules. I'm going to invade Earth.
So
which
now,
has tanks and bombs, and he's got ninjas on horseback.
Oh, and they kill the one character I knew.
Johnny Cage.
Humans. They kill Johnny Cage.
For no real reason.
I don't,
did the actor not want to do it?
But the actor had a good agent.
Yeah. I kept expecting him to come back. Like, I didn't think they'd actually kill. Like, I mean, I don't know the character.
Was he killed
but
in the games?
There was
he's not
a
in
point
Kombat
when he was
3,
killed in the
is
games.
Not? He's in 1 and 2, definitely. I don't remember if he's in 3.
I think he's in 3. It's been a very long time since I've played Mortal Kombat. But he does eventually, in the storyline of the games, die.
So it's basically Raiden, who, if you're familiar with the great 1999 movie Mystery Men, I now know the Sphinx character in Mystery Men is clearly based on Raiden from Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Raiden, Katana, Liu Kang, and Sonya Blade. And Raiden's like, hey, we got to get out of here. So they just sort of like,
I don't know. Yeah, do they just disappear? I don't remember what happened.
I think they just, like, disappear.
Doesn't he, like, teleport him?
Or maybe he teleports
What I really loved here is that there's this is where I first started really laughing my ass off. Because, again, in the first movie, they adapted it. They did it well. They weren't literally shot for shot, frame by frame adaptation. Raiden, like, launches himself towards Shao Kahn, and he literally says the sound effect, no, 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 that he says in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I will stop you. La, 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 la. And he flies towards him. And I was like, that's because it's in the game.
And Johnny Cage, when he jumps up and
he
does
the
that
shadow
kick,
kick.
He's got that, the shadow behind him.
Yep. Sub-Zero does it later where he jumps backwards and he leaves the ice clone. Oh no, he's going to touch it and freeze. Just like when I hit quarter circle back BX when I jump.
I appreciated in the first movie the callbacks to the video game. But in
this
movie,
they were subtle.
Yeah, I mean, some of them were blatant,
some of them were.
Yes, some of them were. But the shadow kick, Johnny Cage is a human being. He's not going to do that in real life. Like, there were pieces that were clearly from the video game, but should not have been in a live action movie.
Yeah.
Like, he can do, all of it. He can do, you know, the kick move without having the shadows behind him, and you still realize that that's his move from the game. You don't need the special effects.
No, you don't.
We have to get through this first scene.
I know. Well, then, okay, so Raiden.
I say we just give up on the plot.
Well, Raiden, and as Nick brought up, Raiden just takes them to this weird cave that has these giant hamster balls in it.
And he gives Liu Kang some like generic advice. You're going to find a guy. You need to talk to a guy named Nightwolf, but he'll find you. Get in this ball and go.
And with Kitana. I would also like to give...
We've all been there.
I had to write this down, what Raiden's thing before they get into the spinning balls is like, you will be moving so fast, it is like you are not moving at all. Not true.
Right.
Not true at all. The movie immediately.
Right.
Like, when people get into these spinning balls, they're like, whoa! Like, they're freaking like, out.
You can get anywhere on Earth in hours. Didn't he say that? So they're like sitting on these spinning balls for hours.
I guess, and like, they're weirdly kinky,
like how
too. Because, like, Raiden and, like, Sonya Blade are, like, face-to-face in, like, what looks like a medieval torture device, right. Almost. Like, it's just, it's a totally bizarre design element that like comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, they could have just taken a plane. I mean, that can get anywhere in an hour,
or Raiden could have teleported them.
Yeah, or just teleport. Like, it didn't...
Like, use magic, yeah.
It didn't... It felt... Like Nick said, it just... It feels so out of nowhere that this happens and never comes back. Never comes back in the film.
I feel like the entire point of it was to get Liu Kang to have to hug Kitana.
Basically, yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
Now, were those two together before they got in the ball? Or did they, like...
Yeah, in the first movie, there was, like, an implied romance was going
to... Because I wasn't sure, because in the ball, like, they were flirting, like, they weren't together, and then they got out, and then they were all
they like, were at, like, an unconfirmed, like, playful flirting.
What happens in the ball?
That's what I was, like, I was like, did they spend so much time in the ball together that they, like, fell in love? I, like, I didn't know what was going on.
Their relationship was very confusing to me, and when there's a point... We'll get to it, where my confusion went to just, like, my brain, like, short-circuited and just stopped thinking about what was going on with those characters because it couldn't handle what the screenplay was throwing at me.
Not that the screenplay was throwing that much.
No. But the little bit... For people who... Like, I played Mortal Kombat 1, a little bit of Mortal Kombat 2, none of Mortal Kombat 3. So I'm watching this being like... Like, I watched this whole thing just like... Like, having no idea.
Now, did you get from fight to fight in a hamster ball in the games, or...?
No.
Okay.
They were a bonus stage.
Well, and now we kind of meet our bad... Well, we had already met our bad guy, who's this guy Shao Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
But now they introduce this other bad guy, who seems to be Shao Kahn's boss. Like, this is not, by the way, explained at all.
No.
And I'm like... Why are there two villains? I'm like, I don't understand. Because they seem to be setting up Shao Kahn as, like, the big bad guy. And I'm like,
right.
But he's a lackey for this other guy?
Like, there's always some bigger deal up the chain.
I guess.
Everywhere you go.
I guess, you know, and the bigger guy is full of his own wacky Zen wisdom. Like,
he, like, floats around. And...
Well, one of his great quotes is he's like, oh, did you kill Raiden? And, like, Shao Kahn's like, ah, sorry, teleported. Hamster wheels, you know. And the other guy's like, ah, do not underestimate the power of the human spirit.
What? Yeah, there was a lot of very generic advice, I guess, or aphorisms. Just don't underestimate the human spirit. You need to have more. You just need more confidence.
Faith
in yourself.
Half of Raiden's dialogue.
Your mother thinks you're special.
Raiden's dialogue is all like successory posters, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with very little fighting.
Hang in there.
Yeah. So, okay, so Liu Kang and Kitana are going to look for this guy. No, they don't look for Nightwolf. Nightwolf finds you, and I guess you
just... hang out in the tunnels.
They end up in a tunnel.
Getting some fights.
They immediately get attacked.
Immediately get attacked.
Mm-hmm. They were not moving fast.
So I don't even remember who they're fighting here. I remember...
Sub-Zero
shows up, but someone
Sub-Zero
attacks them first, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a fight...
This is one of the robot ninjas.
Oh, that's right. So Smoke, the robot version of Smoke, not the ninja version of Smoke, who's the hidden character in Mortal Kombat 2. No, it's the robot version of Smoke because, of course, you need cyborgs in Mortal Kombat. Okay.
That happened in the games, though.
It did. But that's a criticism of the games area. So when is Noob Saibot going to be in this game? Anyway.
He does show up in the movie.
Was Noob Saibot in the movie?
Again, another character that shows up and is
in... Was Noob Saibot?
I looked at the cast list and saw a bunch of names
background.
That are never named.
So, Cody, you know, what did you do
in
for
the
New
very,
Year's?
In the final fight,
really?
When Sonya's fighting.
Oh my god, I'm not gonna rewatch this.
Sonya's fighting Ermac, and then she's fighting the second guy, Noob Saibot.
Noob Saibot's in this movie.
That is the worst character name I've ever heard.
It's Tobias and Boone backwards. Yeah. Tobias and Boone were the guys that invented the game.
Right, come on, Alex.
Okay.
Get up to speed here.
What I was upset with at the end of the movie, nobody popped their head up in front of the screen and went, Toasty! That would have been hilarious.
Wow.
And anyway, so
we do meet.
They get attacked by a robot. Sub-Zero comes back. Sub-Zero is probably the most popular character in the franchise.
Let me ask you guys who are Mortal Kombat fans, Jack and Christian. So Sub-Zero shows up. He is the character that I know, and I'm like, oh, Sub-Zero, played by knockoff David Schwimmer. Great. Like, okay. He shows up and he gives them some vague successories advice, and they're like, can you help us? And he's like, oh, I guess so. And he like forms an ice bridge, and Scorpion shows up. Literally,
his nemesis.
These are the two characters I'm the most familiar with.
They're the only ones I knew. When they came on screen, I was like, oh, people I know.
They have a fight, and then both of them disappear.
It has no consequence. Yeah,
never to be seen again.
In fact,
no impact.
Scorpion grabs him, and then when they try to rescue Sub-Zero, he literally says, "Suckers!" and disappears.
Yeah.
Where does it? Why?
I felt like he was talking to me when he.
I did. He was. For anyone who paid.
They're out of the movie.
I did find myself later on going, "Wait, what happened to Sub-Zero?"
Yeah.
I could not remember.
What happened to Sub-Zero? What happened to Scorpion? What happened to Nightmare?
They made sure they had to tell you that this was the second Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
That Sub-Zero's brother. Because in the games, it's Sub-Zero's brother as well. There's two Sub-Zeros. So
they're both named Sub-Zero?
The younger brother takes on George his older Foreman brother's name when the older brother dies.
These games have...
George Foreman has...
Oh, the games have incredibly...
You could write like a Lord of the Rings novel.
It sounds like they've packed 30 years of soap opera into four 16-bit video games.
Pretty much.
Basically.
God.
Well, think here. This will work for you, Alex. Think 80s Claremont X-Men.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But more convoluted.
Yeah, the more that's true. With things coming and going that make no
there's
sense.
There's cyborg ninjas. Yeah, you know it all aliens, other realms.
This is Claremont and like the Forge character all over the place. Yeah,
Claremont with an 8th ball of coke and
yeah, God, this is so. Scorpion grabs Kitana and takes her into a purple blob, of which appeared to be flubber from what I could tell. Sub-Zero just disappears.
Katana's gone too, right?
And Scorpion takes Katana.
He takes Katana, yep.
And now it's just Liu Kang just there like, ha, ha, ha. And like a weird shot of him being like, it's just me.
And where is he supposed to go now? Who knows?
Who knows?
Nightwolf is supposed to find him.
Yeah. Who knows?
But he decides to walk anyway. Now all of a sudden he's in the American Southwest.
He is somehow in the American Southwest. Well, before this too... Sonya Blade finds her old partner Jax in a research lab.
But this is ridiculous. So the world is being invaded. The idea here is that Earth and Outworld are merging. That these bizarre soldiers with magical powers attacking and invading Earth. All this stuff that's happening to the ordinary citizens of Earth that we're not seeing on screen. And Jax is lying on his back in a facility, knocked out with robot arms, and no one's in this facility but him.
Yeah, no one's even there.
What also kills me is if you think about the timeline. Don't think maybe a week has passed since Sonya jumped on the boat in the first movie and Jax was calling after her trying to find out where she went.
Yeah.
Maybe a week.
Yeah.
Max. Mm-hmm. And now he's in this facility with robot
different
arms.
Different actor too, by the way.
Well, yeah, because almost pretty much everybody is a different actor. So how in the world did he decide that he needed robot arms, find a program, get it all done in less than a week?
I wonder if once Sonya was gone, he said the only way I can rescue Sonya is if I have robot arms. But we, the audience, know that Sonya can take care of herself, so Jax is basically useless. And
that's still a leap, though. Like, I need robot arms.
Yeah.
Well, the funniest thing I found about this is the movie, the screenplay then takes Jax and is like, oh, he's going to be the audience's, like, he is going to be the audience's representative. Eyes, and I'm like, we're pretty far into the movie for you to be giving us an audience representative, and he's not doing a great job.
I was so annoyed, too, with Jax, because it was, like, such a 90s thing where, like, you have the one black guy in the movie has all these catchphrases, and that's what I'm talking about, and all this stuff. Like, give him some actual, like, real things to do, real lines. I mean, it's like, it was so...
Well,
and also, if he's supposed to be the audience representative, Sonya never answers his questions.
Oh, we're coming.
I want to know how Sonya cleaned that mud off.
That's what I wrote down to her. water showers in the desert? Like, she's covered in mud. In the next scene, she's clean and dry.
Because she found a river.
But
there's a brilliant scene coming up that I loved so much. I transcribed it line by line because I was shocked that they were willing to include it in the film, because it calls out the film on all of its problems.
But he's asking all these questions, and she's getting angry at him.
Yeah.
Not giving him one piece of explanation for everything that's going on.
Nothing. Well, and so she doesn't even rescue him. He ends up rescuing himself. Yeah. He's just like, I'll break these things. And as soon as he breaks out, a bunch of other minor Mortal Kombat characters come in.
An unnamed robot character.
Well, it's the, I know it's Cyrax and Sektor, but I forget which one is what, which color.
Why?
Because there's a yellow one.
And here's a dumb question.
It is Cyrax?
I looked at the cast list. It's Cyrax, okay. Yeah. The same guy plays like three different of these unknown characters.
So terrible. And they're all the same.
They are, yeah.
They're all... So they finally... Like, there's a whole bunch of... It's the scenario that this movie is fascinated with, which is two characters fighting one-on-one while another character is standing 2 feet away fighting one-on-one with someone. And the main bad guy, like, somehow Sonya Blade, like, lights him on fire or something. And this character who's been punched, kicked, thrown through walls, all these other things, as soon as fire touches him, that's it. Like, he just shuts down. Mm-hmm. Is this, like, a reverse Wicked Witch of the West? I didn't understand. Is that a thing in the game, that fire is immediately deadly too?
No.
Okay.
Fire is often used in fatalities in general, but...
Okay.
Just in life.
Yeah.
Well, this is the scene where at the end of this scene, where, like, the lab blows up.
Yes.
And they jump away, or they're like floating away. This is another bad CGI moment.
Yes.
Where I can't believe anyone, like an exec, saw that scene and said, "Yeah, release this movie."
And that goes for the entire movie.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. Like the dragon thing or the rock monster that comes up is like.
Oh. Ugh. They do another thing that is really uncomfortable, which is Jax gets stuck with all of the, like, quote-unquote witty one-liners.
Yeah.
Like, he's... Which, at some point, is like...
It's like, okay, after every punch he throws, he has some, like, catchphrase.
And it just was like... This was making me more and more uncomfortable that they were putting these on the one black character. Yeah. And was like, okay, you're not going to let this character, like, have any real, like, insight or, like, isn't... He is the one character who calls the movie out on its problems, but he never... Other than that one scene, he's just a one-line machine. Even in times where you're like, no, come on.
Right.
Like, that's not cool.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah, it's really inappropriate.
I was also a little confused about time scale now, because, to be fair, I don't know how far away Sonya and Jax are from where Liu Kang is, but considering the fact that Sonya and Jax walk and meet him, why is the Night Wolf test at night, and Sonya, were they like walking all night?
They must have gotten back in the hamster balls, because if you notice, when they climb out of that tunnel, it says they're in Hawaii. They clearly never walked anywhere.
You're right.
At the end of the movie, Jax says, like, that was the worst week of my life. So I don't know if this movie takes place over the...
In the very beginning, he says six days.
Oh, yeah. Earth was
They didn't establish that. There was no counter, like, timer.
They didn't have 4 hours left.
At the timeline, the 6 days thing kind of also reminded me of the gods of Egypt, of who knows how long they have until she gets to...
It just felt like not enough happened to take up 6 days.
Yeah.
It must have been like a lot of
There's a lot of hamster ball traveling.
And a lot of fighting.
Too. Yeah.
A lot of choreographed fights where people aren't really punching each other.
And there's fighting.
Later on, there's a fight. Yeah,
there's also like internal politics among the bad guys, because we keep going back to these scenes of like Shao Kahn being like, "Ha, you young queen, evil queen, you know," or picking who's going to be his general, and
legit laugh I had, and I'm not even sure if it was meant to be a legit laugh, was when Khan, like, repeats what his boss said to him, like, to his underlings.
Yeah.
Like, the same, like, threat. Like, I can't remember what it was.
He does, but he's, like, totally copies the line.
Yeah. I don't know if that was supposed to be a joke or not, but I took it as an actual joke, and I legit laughed at it. But.
And it's basically, like, Centaur Man.
Taro.
Okay, Four Arms Lady.
Shiva.
That's
it is a little uncomfortable.
Okay,
I know.
I even thought
it as a kid.
I thought they said that, and I was like hoping they didn't. Okay.
They did.
All right.
That's not great.
They did.
And then the Rain
is the ninja, and Sindel is the queen.
Yeah. So, and they're all wanting to be for some reason, I don't know why anyone wants this job. This job seems terrible. Yeah.
Shao Kahn's, the bad guy's plot seems to be about delegation of authority, right? So we have... We have the character who is apparently Shinnok from Mortal Kombat 4 at the top of the chain. And even though he's obviously giving the orders, Shao Kahn is the one who's really in charge. Now he has to go down and he has to delegate authority to one or multiple of these four random dudes, and he's going to try to force them to fight over it. But then he says, oh, well, I'm going to pick my wife.
The movie is about the despair of being in middle management.
It is. Do you think that's
what was sold? You got a boss above you who wants results. You got people below you that just...
It's satire of Hollywood.
That was the elevator pitch.
There's so many levels to it.
Yeah, the elevator pitch. Some guy being like, hey, have you ever wondered, not the big bad guy, and not like the grunts, but what kind of goes in? Who are the guys who are doing the scheduling? Who does the human resources for them?
Who's the guy who, all right, we're going to... damn it, Frank called in sick again.
So now Liu Kang is... he is wandering the American Southwest, as Jack said.
He's in like the desert, yeah.
And he comes across a wolf guy.
A wolf literally attacks him, and he grabs the camera and starts wrestling with it quite dramatically. I love that.
Yeah.
Like he's like fighting this thing.
And then, is this where the wolf guy tells him,
he's going to test him, basically.
He's going to test him.
He says, well, I won Mortal Kombat, which was the tournament in the first movie. And he's like, yeah, big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so the first movie didn't matter. Okay.
And does he say there's going to be three tests?
Yes.
Okay, he does.
Yes.
Okay. I had to go to Wikipedia on this after the film was over. I was not wrong. He only faces two tests. There is no third test.
You got to save something for another sequel.
Is the third test fighting Shao Kahn, though? Would that count as the third
test? With Jade, though? Or was it Jade? What's that her name?
Jade.
Where he doesn't bang her.
Yes, that's test one.
And then
one.
He fights her.
Well, no,
wasn't there one before that? Like, he fights... I don't remember.
He goes into the dream state to find his animality, which was the cheesiest way to bring that into the movie. Then comes Jade, and he says, I haven't passed all the tests. And she says, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well...
and then he gets tricked anyway. So maybe... I kind of gave the movie a little bit of benefit of the doubt, thinking that they were saying, oh, because he only did two tests. That's why he messed up later on. I don't know.
Wikipedia has a line where they're like... the third test may have been courage. I'm like, all right, Wikipedia users. Like,
wow. We couldn't get the screenwriter to sober up long enough to give us a solid answer.
And you reference it. So this woman named Jade shows up,
mm-hmm.
who is kind of all over Liu Kang.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to hook up with you. And she's like, ha-ha, you have passed the test.
Like, but then she transforms into her kung fu suit and they fight.
Yeah, and then, but I'm like, at this point, I was like, what is, like,
the feminist side of me was like, oh, come on, seriously, because you've got Jade in the snow wearing basically nothing,
yeah,
and cutting to Sonya mud wrestling with Melina,
to be fair, the movie was made for, you know, like, boys aged 12 to 16.
Yeah.
I'm not forgiving it, but in the first movie,
it was really just that wooden leather dress that Sonya wears. This movie, like, kind of upped the objectification in this section of the movie.
Now to become an unreliable narrator because characters all the way through have been saying, Katana. She's the key to all of this.
Yeah.
Really.
And people keep saying this. Jade's like, Katana, she's the key to all of this. My note at that point is, quick check, what is all of this? Because I'm not clear also on that. Like, what? And I'm like, okay, so Katana, all right, so that's the stakes. Katana is important to some bigger mystical thing that the movie is...
There was a very brief explanation that... because Shao Kahn resurrected Queen Sindel on Earth, that was part of how he got through the portal, and that if Katana can reconnect with her mother's true soul and set her mother free, then that would close the portal.
Okay.
A mother's
brief.
Love. but
yeah. That's like an offhand mention in the beginning.
And it's one of many things. Like, it's more of like a collaborative effort. So it's not like, I mean, she was an important part of the chain, but she wasn't necessarily the key to everything.
Okay.
It was important. She did have to do that. I mean, that was important.
As a viewer.
Except it wasn't.
That doesn't stop Shao Kahn. That doesn't, yeah. you know.
Because later on, they all say, oh, no, we lied to you. Yep,
the portals that, that oh, that's right. Nothing. Yeah,
this was a real trespass situation of like, oh, you thought that thing you had no reason to think was false was true? It was false.
You figured it out.
Yeah. Here's a in-movie so wrong it's right. What's the first time in this film we see a wide establishing shot of a location? How many minutes in do people think?
Wasn't there one of the
temple, like one wide shot when the soldiers were falling out of the sky?
No, it's all media. It's done it's all medium in shots? Medium shots. There was really? One of the facility where Jax was. So I guess a non building exterior.
But it wasn't impressive though. But yeah, technically that was an establishing shot. I guess
48 minutes.
At 39:45 is when we get a wide shot of the cliffs and the desert. 39:45 before they've used.
I was gonna say this movie feels so small too. They have a lot of sets that are pretty, you know, intricate and stuff, but there's no, like, for a movie about the end of the world, I expected to see some people. Like,
yeah, oh
that's
yeah,
that's right. There
like,
are no
like
other
enslaved,
people.
Like there's enslaved like no civilians.
Like at one point they come across like.
City destruction scenes.
The Golden Gate Bridge is like in the outer world, wherever it's called. And they're like, oh, look at all the cars. They're stuck between worlds or something like that. But it's like, you could have shown something like that happening. So it's like, oh, the world is actually ending. Like, I had no sense that the world was actually ending.
I didn't either. I mean? Yeah, there's no
people other than humans.
No one's in peril. Cars.
Yeah, no one's in peril. This is where we get the great scene where Sonya Blade and Jax are walking around. And Jax is like, what is going on? And I'd like to read the dialogue. Sonya's like, I can't explain it. Use your imagination. That's a line in this movie. That's like the screenwriter saying to the audience, I don't care. You know what?
I already cashed the check.
We'll figure it out later.
Then Jax is like, also,
they paid me ahead of time.
Jax goes, who the hell is this Johnny guy? He says that to her. Sonya Blade does not answer him. Jax is also like, I don't even know where I am. I'm like, he is the audience's advocate in this movie.
And she does nothing to answer his questions.
Nothing. Nothing.
This would have been the perfect time for some exposition. Anything.
Well,
it would have been better, you know, half
much
hour
earlier.
Before,
but even something. Yeah. Something to be like, I don't to ground just a little connective tissue to mm-hmm. even
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
I was when Jax is like, "Who the hell is Johnny?" I'm like, I'd second that question. I'll take the answer too, because I was a little like, oh, I kind of remember him from the first movie, but like, because here's one of my other problems that grows from the movie is, Liu Kang is set up in this movie as like, oh, he's going to be the ultimate hero. We never at any point really have reason to believe that he's a good fighter.
I was thinking that after I watched it, I was like, he's like the one character I felt was the most, almost most background character. Like he didn't.
Yeah.
He
gets his butt kicked all
right,
over.
Right, that's what I felt like, yeah. Like, he spent a lot of time with Sonya and Jax and with, you know, like, Katana, you know, seems like she's, you know, a badass and all that. And then Luke, he's just the whole movie going, like, I can't do it.
Generic protagonist.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Very bland. He keeps, other characters have to keep bailing him out in fights. Right. You're never at any point being like, oh, that guy, he's got something.
Chosen. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're like, no, this guy's possibly the worst fighter.
Yeah, when he went to fight Khan at the end, I was like, oh, you couldn't send anybody else. I mean, everyone else is doing pretty well in their fights, and he's like, yeah.
The fights are so much better in the first movie.
They took a little extra time. Yeah.
It seems like there was actual martial arts in the first movie.
Yeah.
The fights in this movie are just punch, punch, get thrown against a wall.
Yeah. There's a lot of
flipping in the air, like just the spins.
My favorite was so when Raiden fights and he's like doing all these kicks and flips away from
there's one shot where he's fighting whoever he's fighting and like they're kicking like around each other. They're like not even kicking each other, and it was like the dumbest thing. I didn't understand it.
It's more gymnastics even than kung fu.
Like I don't know if that was supposed to be a cool moment. Like I can't remember which Star Wars, if it was like Phantom Menace, was two people are fighting with lightsabers and they end up like not even hitting each other, just like I can't remember what movie
basically any prequel trilogy.
Like I didn't know if that was supposed to be like a cool moment where like oh, they're so good at fighting, they're not even hitting each other. Like, I didn't know. Like,
they were moving so fast. Like, they weren't moving at all.
They couldn't afford stuntmen. They didn't want the actors to get hurt, so they...
We do, at this point, get our first appearance of a CGI dragon, where one just comes out of a cliff wall, and it's Jax so just... bad. Slowly, just slowly punches it to death. It's not even a
fight
scene.
Have we gotten to the part where Shao Kahn decapitates someone with one yet?
No.
Shao Kahn does decapitate someone with another crappy CG dragon.
Yeah.
But like, they would have been better off with like...
Or does he turn into one?
Like he decapitates Jade. Later on. Yeah.
But it would have been better off... Like, it looks so bad, it would have been better off of like just like a Gorn fight from Star Trek. Like a guy in like a costume. Because it was so... It would look like the most basic. I mean, it was bad.
I can't even compare it.
Like animatics.
It's like, it's barely even an animatic.
Right.
Yeah. And placed in with like a real environment makes it look so much worse. Like a hand drawn dragon might have looked better. Yeah. Like the Paula Abdul video where she's dancing with a cat seems more based in real life than this dragon.
Could have been like a Roger Rabbit type situation.
Yeah.
Could have been better.
So now Raiden is at a temple because his whole mission was he was going to meet with the elder gods and say, hey, this is a violation of the sacred rules of Mortal Kombat. And like basically appeal this to the elder gods. And he does get to talk to the elder gods.
He gets to ask three questions.
Yes.
Which just...
They're really lame questions too.
Yeah.
They're pretty bad.
Like the first one I got, the other two were just really kind of lame follow-ups to the first one.
They really are. And the Wikipedia description of what the elder gods tell him is fantastic. Their answers are vague and inconclusive. Yes, they are.
I will give the movie consistency.
Yes.
It is consistently vague and inconsistent.
But Raiden is just kind of like, because I'm watching and I'm like, I don't understand what they're saying. And I'm like, okay. And this is again where I'm like, I'm not going to Wikipedia yet. And he comes up, but he seems satisfied with what they've said. So I'm like, so I'm not understanding. Like, this is on me then. Like, if Raiden seems fine with this, I'm having a problem with the Elder Gods.
And then they do something really weird. They change Raiden's look, because the next time we see him, he's got short blonde hair, and he's wearing like a vest and like
tight
pants that's more appropriate for fighting, and instead of the loose clothing he usually wears.
And he's immortal now.
Yes, he's lost his superpowers.
Yes. Although, has
he
lost
his superpowers?
He is some of them. Yeah.
They're slowly draining, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're wearing off. It's
his
like
superpowers
are being weaned off.
He's basically a battery at this point.
Yeah. He's like the wizard at the end of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Yeah. He can do a little magic, just there's not much left in the tank. Yeah. So the other fighters meet up with Raiden outside this temple, and then all the bad guys are also showing up outside this temple. So Raiden uses his last magic to form a crazy tunnel for them to go into, at which point the bad guys are like, ha ha, they took the bait. I'm like, what bait?
Because now they're traveling, now the good guys go from Earth to Outworld.
Okay.
So they transfer into the bad guy's territory.
Into Outworld.
Why? I don't know.
Why? Yeah.
But that's what they do.
But like, what else is Raiden going
to
do?
Because
like,
they're going to go there anyways because they wanted to rescue Katana or whatever. And, yeah. I mean, they were going there anyways.
Yeah, they were all... In fact, I think Jade even said to them, like, Katana's being held in this thing. So they took the bait. Like, it was the only... Like, what else were they going to do? Like, so they're in the post-apocalyptic world.
There's another fight. The thing with this is nobody is as suspicious of Jade as they should be. Yeah. There's a moment here where so they like come to some temple or something, and all these like bad guys come out, and what's her name's mother? What was her?
Sindel
comes out, and she's like her thing. So everyone starts fighting everyone, and Raiden's fighting the guy, and everyone beats whoever they're beating, and then like Jade comes out with like unconscious Sindel or dead, I can't remember. She's like
unconscious.
She's like, oh, I snuck up behind her and I took her out while you guys are fighting. It's like, yeah, no one's like, we didn't see that happen, so
yeah,
I don't know. Like, as an audience member, it's like, why didn't you show us that?
Gee, yeah, this brand new girl that we just met up with, like, oh, somehow easily
I got the drop on her.
Yeah.
Was the objectification of the Jade character uncomfortable for anyone else, where literally every male character is like, ooh, va-va-voom. Right. Yeah. Like, even Raiden is like, hello.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's the one who Jack says to, like, oh, you have great legs for kicking, I mean.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, it just, there was something uncomfortable about everyone just instantly viewed this character as, like, a sex object. Like, which I was like, I don't, okay. No one even wants to, like, talk to her. I don't know. Like, we even learned her name, you know.
It's okay. We don't learn the names of, like, half the people in the movie.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. All right. So now, and is this where, and I get a little confused here. Is this where Jade comes out and is like, haha, you thought I was with you? No. You thought me, the person you just met, was trustworthy? No. In fact,
because they get Sidalov or whatever, and they rescue Katana, and then she's like, does the whole thing, like,
she's gonna try to make Sindel good again by touching her soul.
But then she wakes up, she's like, aha, no, I'm still bad. And then that's when Jade's like, ooh, I tricked you guys. And
escape. What was the point of this? There was no point, right? Like,
because they escape, and then all the rest of them are like, oh, okay, like, now what?
Bond villain monologuing, and now you know the whole plan.
Because I don't think the bad guys gained anything. Like, if I was like even the Sindel character would be like, so you want me to sit here and play dead and then bring my daughter over?
It's very Van Damme.
But I'm not going to change. Like, this is just, like.
And they don't even, like, attack, which later on they say, oh, we would have gotten killed. But they don't even try.
Yeah.
They just kind of.
Yeah, and then they get Katana back. Uh-huh. So they get, like, I don't know.
I mean, basically, this plan by the bad guys only ends up benefiting the good guys. Like, even if there was no way that this could have benefited the bad guys. Right. And Jade, like, literally, like, slinks out of, like, you know, and they had to put a shot in the movie of her, like, she's tiptoeing, like, out. Yeah.
She had no escape plan besides that.
Yeah. So now, at, like, God, what has to be, like, an hour into the movie, Raiden decides to drop a little, like, important knowledge on us, like, oh, did I mention my father is one of the three elder gods? Wait, what does that mean about Shao Kahn? Oh,
he's my brother.
To which point?
Not from the games, by the way.
No, it's not.
This comes out of nowhere. Are you kidding me?
This comes out of nowhere.
Because I figured that straight out of nowhere.
Shao Kahn is literally just a conqueror from another world, and Raiden is the god of thunder who is trying to mediate everything.
Because it's not Thor. Because that seemed like the most soap opera-y twist. Okay. And Raiden now basically checks out on the final fight. Because he says to Liu Kang, he's like, well, do your best. I'll pray for you all. Whoa, he's done? Okay.
Well, gee, I really wish I kept my electrical superpowers.
Can you imagine? This is basically like if the Millennium Falcon, like, the tractor beam pulled them onto the Death Star, and Obi-Wan Kenobi's like, all right, you know what? The Force is with you. See you guys. You're done.
No. Yeah, he just basically says he can't kill his brother. Which maybe is the only reason that.
Yeah, but he could fight the goons that were surrounding his brother and help out in that capacity.
Yeah, he could have fought that centaur guy.
He can't actually kill. Yeah, last year, but.
Yeah.
Didn't he get, like, blasted back and is dying or something?
Oh, that's right. Shao Kahn throws a skull at him because that's what he does in the game.
Well, because Raiden says, like, oh, I'm out. I'm not going to be able to do anything. Best of luck to you. Then when they do get to the real fight, he's like, jumps up there. Shao Kahn literally just, like, not a Hurricane, but whatever the Mortal Kombat version of that is. And then Raiden's like, oh, no, I'm really out now. this is why I wished you the best. That's great. And then, so now it turns into, like, four fights going on at once. They decide Liu Kang is their best fighter, based again on pretty much pulling names out of a hat. I mean,
well, because he won in the first movie.
I guess that's true, but it's been just he's getting still his the butt chosen handed one. To him otherwise.
Vanilla hero.
And then Jax is fighting Horseman.
He has to his arms have to come off so you can find his confidence.
Well, what? And Sonya Blade is fighting somebody. I don't know.
The leftovers. Never named. They, okay. She says the leftovers. I'll take the leftovers.
Yeah. And it's just really lame. Burmak. Of like, each of the good guys is just getting destroyed by their opponent, and for no discernible reason. As in all action movies, like, the tables turn. And you're
for
like,
all of them at the exact same time.
At the same time.
Yep.
Because they finally found that confidence.
Oh, God. This between this and Gods of Egypt, we never need to see a movie again where a character succeeds because they needed to believe in themselves, Dumbo
that's
style.
That's one of my pet peeves in movies.
It really was. So it's like, oh, those metal arms are Dumbo's feather.
That's right up. That's right up there with fight. It's inside you. Fight it. I hate that, too.
Yeah.
When someone's like possession. Like, you're in there. Still fight it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Don't underestimate the spirit of humanity or whatever the line is.
That is the lesson for the entire Mortal Kombat franchise.
And I'd say again, as a guy
who... If I can change and you can change.
Oh, if I can change.
We can all change.
Oh. Yeah, well, there's more. This movie rivals Rocky IV for the amount of times people are hit directly in the face with no ill effects at all.
Yeah.
We now, again, as a casual fan of these games, to watch Liu Kang turn into a freaking dragon, I was like, what?
This was another gimmick. As bizarre. The games went on, the fatalities became, I guess, boring. So including fatalities, they also added things like friendship moves, where at the end of the game, instead of killing them, you'd give them like a birthday present. It was a joke. That look on your face.
But then
says
didn't
it
sometimes
all.
The birthday present blow up and they die anyway?
Sometimes,
like, it's still a way to kill them.
Sometimes they would. And then they had one called the Animality, where every character would transform into an animal and kill their opponent.
How were these games best selling?
I don't know.
What?
The 90s were a different
time. This was probably the hottest thing in the video game world between like 92 and 98. Like, it was a Mortal Kombat was it. It peaked and then pittered, but I think that's the entirety of the span.
Wow.
And it's not like these moves happened all the time. This was like, you had to be, like, it had to be round three and you were completely winning. And then if you
had
got the chance, you could do a special code and get either a fatality or animality or something.
Wow.
Or
you could do a babality where you turn them into a baby.
That's right, I forgot that.
And other video game franchises tried to cash in, like the Killer Instinct games did what they called, they called them death moves or something like that. And that's the one with the dinosaurs. Primal Rage did them, where like they pee on the corpse of their fallen opponent. It's so the other player could be like, oh, I'm peeing on you or whatever.
This feels like 100 years ago. I mean, like video games, thankfully, have come a long way from those days.
They have.
Wow. Well, and the bad guys, or Shao Kang, as we were talking about, returns himself into essentially a Ray Harryhausen monster.
Yeah.
By the way, I just love that.
This fight is awful, too. Like, they waste a lot. They had, like, full view, full light. Awful. These CGI dragons are, like...
Yeah.
They're, like, bouncing against
each
other.
No one can see what Jack is doing right now, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's very awkward, yeah.
We should do video versions.
Every time podcasts. We do a podcast, I found out that Christy is, like, an expert on something else.
I'm a nerd.
I never knew these things about Christy.
Well, and now, so the Elder Gods show up, and they just stand there and they go, this is a line in the movie. And Jack, I'm hoping that you will give
me
assist, because I think you know what
comes in during that portion of the line.
This is a real line in the movie, as done by Jack and I. The fate of the universe shall be decided as it should be in...
Okay, this is the one moment of this movie I loved, because I love that song. It's the song from the first movie, and for 5 seconds I was like, yes! And the song's over and the fight's still stupid. Never mind.
It's still dumb. What? And weirdly... This was a theatrically released movie that for like 20 seconds just cuts to stock footage of like the globe, of like just cities around, like 16 millimeter stock footage of like places on Earth. why are we seeing this? Like, why is it also like, this is from 1997, one of them, I can't remember which one, but one of them clearly was stock footage from at least 10 or 15 years earlier. You're like, what? I don't, okay. So now Liu Kang is fighting. Somehow Liu Kang is beating Shao Kahn, which again, I don't even know.
Because he finds out he's mortal.
Okay.
But Shao Kahn
in the middle of the fight, Kahn finds out that he's mortal.
Was that what it was?
And his boss is like, Well, that's what happens. I told you. Sorry.
Well, sorry. No,
he didn't tell him up until that point that he had become mortal.
I did warn you that we were breaking the rules. Yeah,
that's basically what it was.
Yeah. Turning your fancy skull. Contract. Yeah. And James Remar, or like Raiden, is then made into and becomes. They kick out Raiden's dad. Raiden,
well, that's after the fight. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, after the fight.
Because he just gets turned into like. What happens with me? He turns into blocks or something and just like floats away. Yeah. Something weird.
Oh, yeah. He folds up like a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, something weird.
Yeah, it was I guess he's like a gone. Bad version of like Superman.
I was going to say the
Phantom
Superman,
Zone prison.
Yeah.
And they're like, you will now take your father's place as an elder god. And James Remar is like, okay, great.
I'm not dead.
Yeah, I'm not dead.
Which I thought was funny because he had that moment where he died where he's like, I'm proud to die immortal.
Yeah.
And then like 2 minutes later, like, oh, now you're a god.
Didn't
he's like,
matter.
Okay.
Didn't right. matter.
I'm fine.
That works too. Sure.
Yeah.
I'll take promotion.
And there's kind of they're all back on normal Earth, high-fiving and like, yay.
Freeze frame.
Yeah. And Raiden says to them, you are a family now. I was like, are they? Nothing in the movie has made me feel that way. In fact, no. Jax has openly questioned who some of these people are and what they are doing there.
But Sonya finally asked Jax for help. So they're a family.
They're a family.
Okay. Even though as partners, one would think that they'd already done that.
Yeah.
And Kitana and Liu Kang are a couple at the end, I guess.
And I love that Sindel is alive again and she's just dressed like an ordinary woman would be in like 1997. Like, no, oh, mom, you're alive, right? And she's like totally dressed like they. Like she's
no, off. I thought she was dressed like a ancient queen.
Was she?
That's how women dress in 1997.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But to me, it looked almost like she looked like a modern person. Like they just grabbed her for a pickup shot.
And so,
I'll have to go back from shoulders up.
Oh, that's why. That must be why. Okay.
Is it weird?
I'll go back and rewatch it.
For Kitana,
I thought that was weird.
Yes, Kitana is like. Appears to be older than her mother now.
Yeah.
Like, by, like, at least a couple of years.
Well, technically, Kitana's 10,000 years old.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
all
true.
Right. Okay.
Sure. She looks pretty good for her age.
Yeah.
I wish I looked that good at 30.
Yeah, I know. So we have multiple So Wrong It's Right questions this movie.
I had one.
Oh, you
it might be one of yours.
Should I get the more
combat
music playing? All right. Get sued. I won't do it.
All right, we'll do. All right, the first one I want to do, and the one some people may know this. If you know it, feel free to excuse yourself. What actor from this movie was not only originally cast as Hicks, the Michael Biehn part in Aliens, but they shot part of the movie with this actor as Hicks, and footage of this actor as Hicks is in Aliens.
What?
This actor was fired during production.
I'm excusing myself. I actually had a conversation with one of my friends about this last night. I was mentioning that I saw this.
Assuming it's not Johnny Cage because he doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
It's got to be James Remar.
I would assume it would have to be James Remar.
It is James Remar. Yeah. James Remar was fired in production for...
I never knew that.
This is actually just been kind of... the full scope of it's been coming out pretty recently.
Yeah, for years it was very... like, well, it didn't work out.
It was... Now it's kind of... Do you listen... Or the I Was There Too podcast, it has come up on there.
I do remember listening to one episode where...
They talked around it.
Like... when we're off the air, I can tell you what happened.
Yes.
I can't tell you.
Yes, they vary, but it's James Remar fired. Some of the shots from Hicks from behind James Cameron is in the studios confirmed are James Remar.
I can't imagine it with James Remar though. It's just
I know.
And I gotta say, James Remar is probably the best thing in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and he's not good.
He's not. He's really checked out.
He's bringing his C game.
See, I actually liked Christopher Lambert better.
Well, I like Christopher Lambert better because he had like a charm about him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Christopher Lambert is better.
Yeah.
Why was Christopher Lambert not available in 1997? Like, what was Christopher Lambert?
He was doing Highlander 4 or whatever, like Highlander 10.
Highlandering.
All right, so the next one is, and I think someone knows, who wants to guess this movie's budget?
$5.
This was eye-popping to me.
Budget? We're talking 90s money.
Eye-popping.
This is 1997. I'm going to give you my guess before I looked it up. I was like, I was guessing My guess before I looked up was 10 million, and I thought I was aiming high because I was like, I thought I was in the 6 to 8 range. So I'm giving you what my guess was.
I'm guessing high.
I remember, 97 know. Though.
$1997.
So we're not talking 200.
This is a New Line Cinema movie. Well, with the, this was new. I mean, this was released by essentially by Warner Brothers.
I'm going to say through. 30 million.
Okay.
That sounds about right. I'm going to say just because I'm going to $1. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I think it looks like it was more expensive than the first one, but that they screwed it up because they spent the money inappropriately. I'm gonna venture as high as 40 million for the special effects, though the cast didn't cost much.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine the cast cost much because everybody's new.
Yeah, most of them were starting from scratch. Anybody could
renegotiate a higher sequel salary.
I'm probably wrong, but that's my guess.
I was assuming the budget for this movie was like Blair Witch budget because it's so bad, but I guess I'll go 25 million.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 million. It was wow.
I mean, it?
Yeah, that's nice. a lot of money in 1997 dollars. I mean, that's a moderately budgeted film for $97.
How in the world did they screw it up so badly?
I have no idea where that money
rushed
went.
It, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know how to ask this as a question, but this really. All right, well, let me put this to I'll ask this question. The director of this movie was the cinematographer of another famous Stop the Movie movie. Was the director the cinematographer of Over the Top, I Know Who Killed Me, Masters of the Universe, or Superman 4?
I'm going to say Masters of the Universe.
Cody Yates, Masters of the Universe?
I'm also going to pick Masters of the Universe. It's, special effects, similarities.
I'm going Skull Over Mask. The Top.
I'm going to go Superman 4.
Oh, no one got it. I Know Who Killed Me.
Really?
Yes. The director was the cinematographer.
I thought he would have been cinematographer before.
So
He went on to do I Know Who Killed Me.
Yes, he did. Well, and his cinematographer, the cinematographer in this movie, the brother of the director of the movie.
This is not the guy who directed the first one, right? I believe that.
When I read that, I was like, that just answered about 200 questions. Great. In an interesting, just a couple interesting notes, the guy who directed this just directed that Annabelle movie. That horror movie, the spin-off from the Conjuring franchise.
Okay.
And the Mortal Kombat, one of the Mortal Kombat creators referred to Mortal Kombat Annihilation as the low point of the entire franchise,
video game-wise, otherwise, just said
this was, things never got worse than this.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I thought it was interesting. One of the actresses in this movie was a Bond girl.
Oh.
She was in a Bond movie.
Oh, is it Katana?
Yeah.
Which she?
She is in License to Kill.
Oh, you're right. That's where I know her
from. Oh, my God. Yes, she is. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's Sanchez's girl.
Yeah, that's Lupe, where I know her from.
Yeah.
Okay, that was bugging
me. I didn't recognize her. I saw it when I looked on IMDb. I didn't recognize her.
Holy crap. I didn't recognize her.
Interesting. That was really bothering
me. Because I only ever knew her from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
1 and 2.
Yeah. I'm sure she appreciates that.
Yeah, she's probably
great. Well, I apologize.
One more than two.
Yeah.
She made a big impression.
Well, all right, so let's do just a quick, is it so bad it's good?
My definition of so bad it's good is different from everybody else's. This movie was so dumb, it made me laugh hysterically. That is so bad it's good for me. This movie is just so ridiculous.
Mortal Kombat 1 is so bad it's incredible.
I love it, absolutely love it. This is just hard to watch.
I mean it's actually literally difficult to watch, like, because of the chroma and
the contrast
issues,
and
like
weird,
it's
like
actually
matte.
Hard yeah, and, I mean, and like the CGI, it's hard to put your eyes on the screen and
focus
watch
on
it.
As
I was telling Jack, as him and I arrived at the same time, we're walking towards the door, and now for those listening, we're recording on New Year's Day.
That's right.
So I was telling Jack, I watched it yesterday morning. Then last night, went out, had way too much to drink, and paid the price this morning. And watching this movie yesterday is still my biggest regret from yesterday.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be bad. This is one that really crept up on me. Like we have not had one this bad for a while.
Oh, I knew this was going to be bad because I literally repressed the entire movie after seeing it in the theaters. I was thinking, I remember seeing this movie because I remember Queen Sindel. That's the only thing I remembered about this movie.
This is easily the worst one I've seen for the podcast.
Easily.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that many, but this makes Gods of Egypt look incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does.
This makes Gods of Egypt seem coherent.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board with what's happening in that movie compared to this. Yeah. This is right up there. Probably... I mean, I would say the worst of the movies we've seen is Lady in the Water, Food Fight. I'm trying to think of what else is up there.
In terms of quality, Food Fight's probably the worst.
I put The Happening.
Oh, The Happening is right up there. Yeah, that's true. The Happening is there.
The Happening is just, yeah.
This sort of joins the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, this is like a first ballot Hall of Fame movie.
About to make one. Hall of Fame.
What a great one for us to return with. All right. Well, we will be back soon.
We've been gone for a while. So
we've been off for a bit, you know. But we'll be back with more hilariously bad movies. I think we can say Suicide Squad will be. I don't know if it's going to be our next one, but it will be coming up at some point.
Because I just continually punish myself. So the last movie I watched for 2016 was Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Because Kristen really wants to watch it, tonight I will be watching Suicide Squad, starting 2017.
Okay, but Suicide Squad is so much better than
Mortal Kombat, I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad was like,
looking forward to Suicide.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a valid argument.
After Mortal Kombat, like, I'm looking forward to an episode of the 80s G.I. Joe cartoon. I mean, like, anything sounds better. Yeah. So we'll be back at some point. I'm not saying Suicide Squad will be our next movie, but I'm sure Suicide Squad will be, given the outstandingly bad work of DC films, Suicide Squad will be coming up.
Yikes.
I think it's good. All right, so we'll be back here next time. See y'all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.